Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations, and now Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Good morning slash good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good morning slash good afternoon slash good evening.
Yes, we say that because people are listening
all over the world.
All over the world, we're almost sure.
If you're listening in some foreign country, we'd like to hear, what's an email address that they can send us a note and say, hey, listen to you?
Comments@AFR.net.
Email us at comments@AFR.net. I'd be interested to hear where you're listening around the world or even around the country.
Because we do have an app. Yeah. We do have an app. And you can go to the App Store and download it for American Family Radio and listen wherever you have a good signal. Also, it's kind of late in the show. I apologize. But if you are listening and would like to watch us, you can go to either Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch us online. Or you can go to AFR.net. We have a live feed. That's a video feed, don't we, on AFR.net?
Yes.
No, it's just audio?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I've been lying to the people for weeks and weeks.
Well, and so I apologize as well if you're just now tuning in that you have to look at me instead of Fred, because Fred is a little bit better palatable on the eyes than this face.
Oh, I would agree with you, Steve, on that.
So, no dispute there.
All right. Enough clowning around. Really? So that's just an audio stream on AFR. Mm. Okay. I'm asking Brent
Facebook
Creeley,
and YouTube,
our producer.
We do video.
Yes. Okay. All right.
We used to. Yeah. You're not crazy. We did used to do video years ago.
I remember seeing that. Yeah. I've been saying that for nobody corrected me. I guess that people just know I'm very fragile personally. And if you correct me, I could break down.
I've been attacking you in tweets that you haven't seen.
Because I'm not on Twitter. That's why. All right, Steve.
That liar, Ed Vitagliano.
Yes.
So I've been listening to, and we've been playing stuff about the speech that President Trump had last night in North Carolina, and he had the crowd in the palm of his hand. Something bothered me. I just wanted to bring it up, and we can move on past it pretty quickly, I think. But several times last night, the president used some profanity and some sacrilegious words that are, I think, way out of place.
Right.
And it just bothered me. I just wanted to bring that up and say, I don't know that I necessarily thought that the chanting of "send her back" was all that helpful.
Not helpful
lock
at
her
all.
Up and everything. So there's things that are happening that I just wanted to register a little bit of a pushback.
These rallies are raucous. Is that the right word?
Yeah,
that is a good word.
I've been to one, a milder version, when President Trump came to Tupelo, Mississippi to campaign on behalf of Cindy Hyde Smith as senator or as Senate candidate. And it wasn't 20,000 people. It was maybe a couple thousand.
It was
enthusiasm,
as packed as it could be. Yeah.
But none of the CNN with the S word or send her back. I don't like this stuff. I like President Trump and I like his supporters and I voted for him. But the CNN SUCKS it's not helpful. Because this is what we don't like about the left, is they shout people down.
Right.
And if you want to say, you don't like the mainstream media and you think they're deceiving us and they're not reporting all of the facts, sure, I agree with you 100%. But when these reporters that work for CNN are just there doing their job, now if you want to, get in a little match with Acosta, fine, he may deserve it. But the cameraman... from MSNBC is there just on behalf of the company to get he doesn't deserve to be shouted down.
He's doing his job.
He may have no decision-making position at the company, and then send her back, that's like deportation.
Yeah.
Right. You can't deport an American citizen, because what if the leftist radicals under the Obama administration at his rallies were saying, send him back.
Right.
Talking about a conservative that's from another country, So you got to be careful here. And I understand the passion and the frustration at the Democrats, but you got to make sure you channel that in a proper way.
And if the administration or the president are listening, I think this is how this plays out, because The way that the media and the way that the public is perceiving this race, and I was reading this morning, is that the left are being portrayed by Republicans as socialists. And, you know, they really are, in many cases, doing socialist policies and bringing on a socialist form of government here. The left is portraying the right as racists. And if you look at what the president said and his tweets and everything, technically they're not, but they're close enough to the line that it just gives that kind of perception. And so Americans will be choosing between socialists and racists. And it's not a fair choice. It's not a fair consideration because the president, I believe, is not racist. And his government and his administration certainly is not racist with its policies. And his supporters right. are not racist. So I just think they're digging a hole that they don't need to dig.
Well, listen, I agree with both of you. And this is something that needs to be said because it's – not all conservatives are Christians.
Right.
Not all Christians are conservatives. Mm-hmm. So we've got to always remember, if we are Christian, that comes first.
Sure.
Our Christianity comes first. Our faith does. And then our political views. They one may flow from the other, but we need to remember that we are representing Christ. And, of course, we don't know about the president, where his heart is in terms of what he believes mm-hmm. and whether or not he's a Christian. We hear this and we hear that. I don't know.
Right.
So it is good that we make sure, since we are talking about the speech, that if people go back and listen to it, they need to be prepared because there will mm-hmm. be a couple of instances of taking the Lord's name in vain and some other things. So anyway, good. I'm glad we made that clear.
The Democrats are expected today to send a $15 minimum wage bill to the House of the floor, and they are going to see if they can get a vote on this. It has 180 co-sponsors, including Speaker Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer over on the other side of the Capitol. So the CBO has given pretty much the pluses and minuses. It will give a significant number of people a pay raise, but the job losses are estimated to be at about between 1.3 and 3.7 million jobs that this thing would cost, as companies can't afford start automating more or go out of business or pass a higher cost of their services on to you.
So the current minimum wage is $7.25 per yep. hour. This is going to be more than doubling the employer employee costs for a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to be disastrous
yeah.
for a lot of companies that can't afford it. And so what a lot of these companies have to do, to Steve's point about the job loss, is they have a certain amount of money set aside for employee costs, for wages.
Sure.
And if they've got to double that, they're just going to hire half the people.
Yes.
Or they're going to have to get rid of people
correct.
So they can keep that cost static. A lot of these companies have such a narrow profit margin anyway.
Yeah.
They've got to cut that cost to make up for it.
Yeah, and that's the point I wanted to hit on there, is that it's as if the Democrats think, they have this conception that companies, even small businesses, have unlimited budgets like the federal government.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
just not true. That, like you said, Ed, that the margins sometimes are slim. Some companies are lucky to break even and pay all the bills and pay all their employees, no capital to spend on investments, etc. And you raise the minimum wage, you want to see what that looks like in real life. You look at California. The reason there's 40,000 homeless people in LA County alone is partially because of drug addiction and other mental illnesses. But some of those people are perfectly fine from a mental standpoint, and some of them may not even be hooked on drugs, but they got fired because the company had to cut down on wage cost because of the minimum wage hike.
Yeah. The way this is supposed to work, I guess, in a capital society, the minimum wage job, it's not supposed to be a living wage. You don't go to McDonald's for a living in a good capital society.
Right.
You go there in high school. You earn extra gas money, you know, and then when you get done with high school, you go into a trade, a plumber, electrician, a carpenter, makes good money. They can make a living at that. Or you go on to college and you get into a white-collar profession. And if if McDonald's wants to pay $7.25 an hour and it finds that Burger King is paying their employees $9 an hour and therefore McDonald's can't keep employees, well, they're going to raise their salaries to $9.25. That's the way that it's supposed to work.
The way the rhetoric is going with the Democrats, they're really shaming low-wage workers to a certain extent by making it as a unacceptable lifestyle. It's unacceptable to work for minimum wage. Some people don't have a high school education for whatever reason. Maybe they dropped out, but they don't have a deep resume that deserves them to make $15 an hour, and they're making minimum wage, but they're working hard, you know, and maybe they get two jobs, but there's nothing shameful about working with your hands, and there's nothing shameful about making $7.25 an hour. Do people want to retire at $7.25 an hour? No, everyone wants to work their way up. Everyone wants to be a manager, you know, a CEO, etc., but somebody has to do the hard work, and, you know, we need to be appreciating those people and not telling them that they're victims.
And I think it's probably wise to acknowledge that there are some people that are older and professional and, you know, in their middle ages, and they can't find the work they need, and they are working at McDonald's, and they are having a hard time bringing their, you know, sometimes it's hard, and I don't want to minimize that.
I'll tell you one last comment on this, and then we'll move on. I also think this hurts new small businesses. Because you were talking about Walker, where, you know, a couple of years go by, a lot of small businesses, you start off in the red for 2 or 3 years as you're getting your business unfolding. Sometimes you start a business, you don't even take a salary. Mm-hmm. You just rely on your savings or whatever, and you're paying your workers and getting your equipment paid off. Then you can start turning a little bit of a profit. So some of these small businesses are not even going to be able to get off the ground because of the how high the labor costs are going to be. So anyway, this is going to go to the floor of the House. I doubt this is going to pass in the Senate, but it does show you the mentality of the left. If they are in charge of both houses of Congress and the White House, you get a $15 minimum wage. It's going to cost jobs.
It'll kill the economy.
Yeah.
A senior leader of the group Hamas, which is the Palestinians' leading, or it's their political party that kind of leads them, and it's also a terrorist organization, made a speech during a Friday protest. And I wanted to read a sentence from his Friday protest speech. He said, 7 million Palestinians outside of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, enough warming up. You have Jews with you in every place. You should attack every Jew possible in all the world and kill them.
Now, who was this?
A senior Hamas leader named Fatih Hamad was saying this at a speech to protesters in the Gaza Strip. And he's saying, our brothers outside are trying to prepare. They're warming up, he says, for attacks on Jews around the world. This brought condemnation from other Hamas leaders. It brought condemnation from the UN. Certainly brought condemnation from Israel,
right,
as you would imagine. Mm-hmm. But a dangerous, dangerous rhetoric to an organization that is known to sponsor terrorism. It's not idle threats. It's not like some kook that's tweeting.
Right. Sure. You know, It's hard. It's hard, really, to believe that after the Holocaust and the foundation of the new nation of Israel as a place where Jews could go to be safe. Of course, they were immediately attacked. Most of our listeners know that history. But since that time, worldwide, I'm not sure there's ever been a time over the last whatever that is, 70 years, where it has been this dangerous to be a Jew anywhere, Europe. The United States, maybe not so much.
Well, in New York, the Hasidic Jews are being attacked in one of the provinces, one of the neighborhoods.
Boroughs or whatever.
In New York. Yeah, in New York.
Well, in Europe, especially where a lot of Muslim immigrants have gone, it's becoming very dangerous to be Jewish And, man, now you get something like this from Hamas. Hmm. All right, people continue to pray for the nation of Israel.
Toward also in the Middle East, the U.S. is sending 500 troops to a Saudi Arabian airbase, and they're doing this in hopes that they can that the threat, that the presence of the U.S., their larger presence, will keep Iran from making trouble in the Straits of Hormuz. But this is interesting. I was reading this. It is hoped that an unnamed U.S. official said it is hoped that fifth-generation F-22 stealth jets and other fighters will be flown from the base to strike Iranian targets should war break out. When you have an official of the U.S. making preparations should war break out, my ears kind of perk up a little bit.
Yeah, we've moved assets into that, within striking distance, into that area, part of the world, including, I think, high-level bombers and all kinds of stuff. And you know, now Iran has admitted that it captured this oil tanker, right?
It has, yes.
It has. So they seem to be upping the ante in terms not only of rhetoric but actions. They shot down a U.S. drone.
Yeah.
Remember, several weeks ago, claimed that it was in Iranian airspace. Everything's so squished there. Yeah. You know, in terms of the Straits of Hormuz, everything's so you can't. It's probably difficult. This oil tanker apparently veered off course just a little bit and wound up in Iranian waters, and they boarded it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And there's been other attacks on tankers there.
Yeah. You know, I think we all agree we don't want a war with Iran. Not because they're not evil, but because do we want to put American lives at risk 3,000 miles away, and you have to ask what's America's role over there. We do have allies over there, but I'm 100% for protecting that strait and the commerce that goes through it. I think other countries also need to step up to the plate with their navies.
Yeah.
But Iran starts hijacking ships over there that aren't their ships. I think that's cause to have military protect the strait.
Right. I want to let's lighten things up just a bit.
No, let's continue to go dig deeper and deeper into despair.
The despair that's happening in Berkeley, California. The Berkeley City Council, the city of Berkeley, has decided that it no longer wants manholes. It no longer wants manpower or chairman or policemen or policewomen. They have decided that they are going to have non-gendered words for everything. It implies, they say, gender preference will be removed from the city's code and replaced for general neutral terms. So you don't have a manhole anymore. You have a maintenance hole.
Wow. Ugh.
And you don't have manpower. You have human effort.
Human effort.
Yes.
You know, this isn't going to work. All right. You can't change human nature. You can't change history. You can't change language by fiat. And this is what Berkeley's going to do. Now, what will they do? They will accomplish this. They'll make people miserable. They will punish people who don't play along. This is this is the city, right?
The city of Berkeley.
It's the city of Berkeley.
The college probably did this years ago. Who knows?
They're gonna punish people. They're going to confuse people. They're going to make people angry. And they're going to accomplish that. Yeah. But they're not going to change the English language by fiat. You can't just say, okay, this is not I Dream a Genie. Now, you remember the show. You probably have heard of it. You haven't. Okay.
Well, I'm not even going to lie. I haven't heard
of it. Okay. All right. So, I Dream a Genie. This was an astronaut that landed, found a lamp, and it was a genie, Barbara Eden.
Yeah.
Who wasn't in love with Barbara Eden in high school?
And
she would do her hands, and then she'd blink, and something happened.
Right.
And she could bring in a llama if she wanted, bring in 15 pizzas. You can't do that. If you're the city of Berkeley, all people are going to do is go, what? I can't say policeman.
Yeah.
You know, this is part of the nuttiness of the
They've list. Also decided in their documents that they're going to replace all instances of a gender pronoun. So they're not doing he, she. They're going to say they.
Let me ask this. Is this for the city employees or is this a?
This is in ordinances and in city language, what it brings.
Okay. I see. I was going to say, because you really, to Ed's point, you cannot. Tell people that they can't say manhole as a citizen.
No, they wouldn't be able to.
Because of the First Amendment. But they're going to PC all of their contracts and all of their ordinances and stuff. But what they're implying, what all of these policies imply, is that there is something wrong with male and female.
Right.
Which I don't know what could be wrong with it. Why don't we just accept that that's how we're created? But
here's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. So the police in Berkeley, I don't know if they arrest people there. I'm sure they do. If they're going to arrest, if they have a suspect.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody, we had a home invasion or we had a robbery at the local fast food joint.
Yes.
And we are looking for an 18-year-old white what?
They.
Mm-hmm.
A white they.
You can't say boy or young man or young
yeah,
girl?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, what are they going to say?
Yeah, I don't
this
know.
This could cause problems.
Yeah.
This is, and if they have an office party and it's a young lady who's pregnant and they're going to say, we hope it's a baby, what is it? It's a baby what? It's
baby
a baby
it.
It.
It's a baby this it. Is, and by the way, the man can be pregnant now too, you know.
Yeah, and this is why the whole transgender gender identity is also a problem, because if you allow biological males to go to the driver's license center and put what they so-called identify as, then what's going to happen when police go, we have a white male, 5'10", dark hair, just robbed the bank, but his driver's license says female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that, so it gets, it causes, it really could cause a lot of confusion in the legal community.
Yeah.
if it wasn't so bizarre and dangerous and disruptive, I'd laugh at this. I still laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is at the height of absurdity, but I run out of words to say how stupid this is.
They'll find a word for you or two.
All right.
All right. Let's do this.
I thought that was supposed to be lighthearted.
Yes, Steve.
It's kind of funny if you think about it.
all right.
It is so, if it wasn't serious.
Dateline West Palm Beach, Florida. The city of West Palm Beach is a little tired of having homeless people sleep in their parks, and specifically in one of their parks.
Now, this is funny.
So the way they have decided to oust them is by playing out loud a little baby tune. It's called Baby Shark. Let me just, how would you like to, if you had to sleep in the park, listen to this for 24 hours?
Baby Shark, do 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 do, Baby Shark, do 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 do, Baby Shark, do 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 do.
Yeah. Yeah, that over and over, Mama Shark and Daddy Shark and
Grandma and Grandpa. I had never heard of this until our story meeting, and then Steve was delighted to look it up and play this song.
That's right.
Now, folks, I'm just asking you out there if you'd ever heard this song before. I know you can't answer, but yeah, that's after you played that this morning.
Yes, you couldn't stop thinking
about
it.
I had to go
now.
Back to my office and get on my. I have music, iTunes, and play something just to get that drive it out of my head.
Should I? Now you're gonna have to do that again. Now.
No, don't play it again.
No, you're gonna have to go
back. Yes.
And we just did
play.
And
I've got to leave here and go get a haircut. I won't have time.
No.
You know, there are songs that can get stuck in your head, not in a good way.
Yes.
This is one
They're
of them.
They're called earworms.
Yeah.
Yes, earworms.
In fact, I put 25 seconds of this song on a loop or just and
we're not playing.
We may have just caused many of our listeners to be disturbed.
We might have.
Part of the reason why I haven't heard this is I'm guessing my wife has heard it. She does the heavy lifting when it comes to babysitting
grandkids.
Our grandkids.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here at work. She has to watch the shows and stuff. She may be very. I'm gonna have to ask her if she's ever heard of it. So I can see where that would drive not only homeless people out, but anyone and
Except
everyone.
Except for six-year-old kids who might want to use the jungle gym. They'd be fine with it.
All right, folks. Hey, you know what? Today is Thursday. You know what tomorrow is? It's Friday.
Woo!
So on this here program, today's issues, we will have Trivia Friday. We really will have some fun tomorrow. Anyway, more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening today. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.